At a grocery store in Barcelona, Spain, Victoria Alonso scans the shelves looking at packages of cereal and crackers. She's trying to find a label that mentions genetically modified ingredients. In the snack aisle, she picks up a bag of popcorn.
It says just corn, fats, various numbers, but no mention of whether the corn is genetically modified or not.
Most of Europe's genetically engineered corn is grown in Spain, but she finds none of it in the entire store. She does find one product that includes the Spanish words for genetically modified. It says geneticamente modificados in the list of ingredients on a canister of soy lecithin. But this obscure item is the only thing she finds that contains GMOs, despite the fact that genetically engineered foods have been allowed on grocery store shelves in the EU since 1997. The small selection comes as no surprise to Colin Carter. He's a professor of agriculture at UC Davis and an unabashed critic of labeling initiatives like I-522.
If we judge mandatory labeling schemes based on their stated objectives, they typically fail, including the scheme in Europe.
Carter says the EU is an example of why required GMO labeling doesn't provide true consumer choice. He says companies believe shoppers won't buy products that say they have GMOs in them. So rather than disclosing, the food producers stop using them.
It's up to the food manufacturers and the retailers, and they have chosen to pretty much avoid genetically engineered ingredients because of the mandatory labeling.
And as the companies change their recipes and substitute non-GMO varieties of key ingredients such as sugars and oils, he says not only do consumers get less choice, it also drives up prices. Not so, say supporters of such laws.
There's no evidence anywhere in 64 countries that have labeling laws that food prices went up anywhere.
Trudy Bialik helped write I-522. She's also director of consumer affairs for PCC Natural Markets, which is a big backer of the measure. She says labeling here won't play out the same way as it has in Europe, because though the EU allows dozens of imported ingredients that are genetically engineered, Europeans are far more wary of GMO cultivation. In contrast to the U.S., they grow only one crop, a variety of genetically modified corn.
The fact that they don't have very many genetically engineered foods on their grocery store shelves is primarily because those crops are not allowed to be grown there. That's a big difference. We have many, many, many crops approved here in the United States.
Those include several types of corn, soy, cottonseed, and canola that make their way into 70% of our processed foods, as well as papaya, zucchini, and yellow squash in the produce aisles. Bialik doesn't believe that labeling these items would necessarily change consumers' behavior. She says people in the U.S. often buy things, even when they have labels that could mean they're not good for you. Labeling gives people the choice. But opponents of I-522 say the labeling scheme here would be less informative than the one that's used in the EU. 522 requires front-of-the-package labeling. Contrast that with the way the Europeans typically disclose it in the ingredients panel. Dana Bieber is a spokeswoman for the No campaign.
It actually tells you which ingredients are GE. And on 522, it doesn't do that. It just puts a warning on the front of the package. And in fact, the warning isn't even to provide any information because you know what it says? It says this food may contain GE in it.
The backers of the initiative say they can't put their label with the ingredients and nutrition facts in the U.S. because that's protected by federal law. Back at the supermarket in Barcelona, Victoria Alonso likes the idea of clearer labeling of GMOs on the front of the package.
Normally the labels are either so small or the warning is so unclear that you don't see it. People don't know what it is, what it means.
She thinks Washington's proposal could be a model as the EU revisits its policies. Bellamy Palethorpe, KPLU News.